Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Oh, 24 hours ago. What a thrill it was.
What a
national
thrill.
TV game between the Kings and the Warriors. The Kings rallied back and beat the Golden State Warriors. All was well, and then reality hit. Oh, wait, they got to go to Denver the next night and play what some people believe is the toughest back-to-back in the NBA. Why? It's Denver. They're a great team. Oh, by the way, Mile High City, the airport's fire away, blah, blah, blah. It is a factor.
Yeah.
The great Gary Gerald, the longtime voice of the Kings, said night-night time was about 4:25 in the morning last night, so maybe some sleepy eyes. Well, the Kings look damn sleepy to start this game because they were in a daze, ball-watching Jokic as Christian Brown was cutting to the basket. Oh, there is a Porter cutting. Mm-hmm. There is Watson. And the Kings got obliterated in the first half. They were down by as many as 25 points going into that fourth quarter. They chipped away. Doug McDermott came in firing in the fourth quarter, knocking down five of the Kings' 8 made threes in the fourth quarter. The Kings made it interesting, but Jokic, what a freak show this guy is. Mm-hmm. Closed the door on the Sacramento Kings, and Denver was able to hang on despite being outscored 38-22 in the fourth. They beat Sacramento tonight 132-123. They have won 8 of 9, and the Kings fall to 23-21. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I was better last night, yep. but at least the Kings, I guess you could say made this a game at the end, but it's not even about making a game. It's just about they fought all the way through.
I like the fight. I always love the fight. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of layers to this game tonight. I know there's a lot of concern about De'Aaron Fox, too, because he had another rough shooting night. 7 of 24 in this game. 3 of 10 from downtown. He had 17 points in the loss for the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk about that. Morgan, look, I can totally understand the whole, like, hey, it's a back-to-back, a tough one. It's Denver, the elevation. All the things that everybody loves to mention anytime you play in Denver.
Sure.
Not taking away from the fact that it's hard. But some of the shit early on in this game I saw tonight was like, hey, guys, does Doug Christie need to give everybody on the team smelling salts?
Well, I thought maybe he should.
I mean, let's wakey wakey, please.
Well, I was just like, wait, does altitude cause ball watching?
You're like slow motion. I mean, first play of the game, it's like, you know, Keegan picks up a foul on a Jamal Murray, attack. And I was like, okay, is this what it's going to be like? But there were so many defensive breakdowns, I thought, in the first quarter, that's just set the tone for a lot of bad basketball from Sacramento. They were able to score at times, but Denver was hitting more threes, and they were getting such easy looks. And I felt like one of the guys that I thought was a huge issue defensively at times is DeMar DeRozan. And we can acknowledge how good he has been recently offensively. In this game, he ends up with 24 points on 9 of 16 shooting. But there were too many times that he was not locked into his man. And when you're playing the Nuggets, I'm not saying it's easy dealing with Jokic, but you can't get mesmerized by Jokic and be staring at him. Because if he catches you,
he'll get your player apart.
And he did that tonight.
Yeah, and he did that a lot. And I think, you know, it all started there in that first quarter where it was surprising watching that first quarter and being like, whenever I would end up looking at the score, because there's a few times I was just watching back and forth, whatever. And then I'm looking at the score, and I'm like, oh, it doesn't feel like the Kings are in this, but they're in this, right? They were finding a way to make baskets and still score while they weren't playing I don't want to say any defense, but their defense just wasn't locked in at all. It was being picked apart, and I thought Denver did a fantastic job with their game plan, how they wanted to go about things, picking it apart, and it looked too effortless at times, and it was more like I was questioning, oh, is this Kings team coming in physically fatigued and mentally fatigued?
And there probably is some of that.
You can
right?
absolutely like, factor it in, but that's the cool part about it is that once that was hitting them in that first half, first quarter, whatever, it was nice that they got that second win to kind of fight through some of these things and make some adjustments. But at the same time, some of those things still happened throughout the game, dude. Defensively.
Yeah.
Especially. Yeah.
Obviously, the biggest issue is the fact that Jokic, the best player on the planet, 35 points, 22 rebounds, 17 assists, one turnover. You think about how often he's got the rock, all the attention he commands, some of the double team looks he gets sometimes. The guy has 17 assists and one turnover. Oh, and he scored 35, 22 rebounds. He was 9 of 10 at the line, 12 of 19 overall from the field, 2 of 3 from downtown, dude.
It you want to talk about effortless, you know, guys getting to the basket God. Effortlessly and everything, because he makes everyone's job that much easier.
Yeah.
And obviously, he has a roster around him where these guys are capable of doing the right thing, but they also put in an extra effort of moving without the basketball, making the right cut. And tonight was the perfect night to hit the Kings on some of those back doors where it was just not only they were ball watching, whatever, a step slow, but when you have someone like Jokic who is able to get those over the top passes, the Kings aren't the longest team. We've seen.
And I'm glad you mentioned that too, right? Because this is another one of those matchups. I even said to you at one point in the first half, I'm like, if the Kings and Denver play, let's just say they played in the first round and the rosters are what they are right now, the Kings might win one game. Uh-huh. Might. And there's just the size the is just is too just, much. Yep. It's just, and this is what we talk about with like roster construction. You know, you can get away with it sometimes, but like, I think what I do like about Denver's team, even though they've been criticized a little bit for how they built this out, you know, someone like Christian Brown is like getting better and better. He's in year three. What do you know? And he plays his role like perfectly.
He really does.
He's aggressive. He attacks, moves without the ball, hard nose. He had 21 tonight. And I felt like all of his looks were like fantastic. They were easy looks for him.
Yeah.
Plays within himself because what do you know? You're playing with the best guy in the world right now, but he's got great size. Porter obviously has got the size and the shooting ability. Then someone like Payton Watson off the bench, he's just a defensive freak. I mean, Alter shots, he had 4 blocks tonight. And then you're bringing right now Aaron Gordon off the bench. I'm like, geez, you got size everywhere. And then everywhere. I can't even talk about it. And someone like Westbrook, people love to shit on Westbrook. This guy has fit perfectly with this team. He's been putting up some good numbers with this team.
Yep.
And hey, we love giving Keon Ellis some love, right? With what he was doing against Steph last night. Guys with size and aggressiveness like Westbrook who are going to put the ball down, they're going to lower that shoulder and attack at the rim. He was rocking the baby a little bit tonight against Keon.
Everyone has wanted to shit on Westbrook throughout his final stretch of his career, you know, the later part of his career, whatever. I mean, I've definitely have had my criticism of him not being able to change his role. I feel like this is the team that he has finally adjusted his role and how he can finish off his career the right way on still being very impactful. So yeah, him also still having those big moments as well.
He had 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting, missed some free throws, but I just thought his attack was massive. Now, you look at the difference between the first half and the second half. That was crazy. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing because it's exactly what I said about the Westbrook thing. And then I'm seeing Westbrook. Westbrook sucks. Okay, and I'm just it's typical.
You know, and then you say some people are going, dude, Brody's back. He's got the aura.
Look, oh, good.
If you've watched him this year with Denver, he's played some pretty good basketball. Uh-huh. And so, you know, they've been winning, too, with him playing a role in the starting lineup.
Working.
So, you know, you can be critical for stuff of the past. It looks like it's working right now. first half versus second half, dude.
Okay.
Some things that jumped out to me, and it just shows you, it's like, maybe they did have some smelling salts in the second half or in the fourth quarter. I don't know what the hell happened. First half, Denver outscored them 74-52. They out-rebounded Sacramento 35-19. Crush them on the glass.
Okay.
And some of that, you know, watching the game, you're like, dude, there's just more aggressiveness on the offense glass, defensive
more
glass.
Activity.
Like, dude, they were, and I know they're bigger, but it's not just about, caught myself. It's not just about this. Guys, I swear it's not just about size, okay?
Pause.
It's how you use it. I swear, okay? Okay, but Denver is not only big.
So how are you going to really use this sentence?
Denver is big, but they play aggressive,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And it's like when the Kings, when they're locked in and then they're
they know how to
ready
game
to
rebound
go,
someone, they know how to.
They're small, but they pack a punch, you know?
Oh my God.
Anyway, but it didn't feel like the Kings had that burst at all tonight. At least in that first half. Like I said, out rebound 35-19. Denver had 15 second chance points in the first half. In the first half of this game, and the staggering number, 44 points in the paint for Denver in the first half. I mean, they just got abused. They got absolutely demolished. And I think that's where I'm going with this whole long, seems like a monologue here for me. But
oh, it's this is like one of your shorter versions, so I like this.
Thank you.
Go on.
I get that's a back-to-back, but there's like controllables to me. And like, it's fighting through that. It is. That's part of life. Like, you have to fight through it. Like, the mentality has to be, we're going to be in this game. It's a 2.5 hour game, okay, by time. We're playing 48 minutes. We have to play hard. If we lock into the details, we give ourselves a chance to win. Hell, this game, on paper, if you don't watch tonight, you're like, oh, the Kings battle tonight. It's 132, 123. Not bad. Must have been a great game. Well, it was a crazy fourth quarter comeback that led the Kings into this.
Yeah.
The Kings, in my opinion, watching that game, they gave away in that first half 12-14 points off being sleepy, having sleepy sand in their eyes, like not locked in and not locking into those details. And look at what you lost by. You lost by 9 points tonight. Yeah, so the
you
details
think about those
matter.
Details. Well, what if you wouldn't have put yourself in that hole. And
yeah. What if, again, the first quarter, you don't give up like three back doors or cuts instead of being outscored 40-31, it's 35-31.
See, that's the thing too. It's one of those nights where it's like, I'm not mad at it, but I want to analyze it and break it down so they can listen and get better. Oh. No, but it's like, it's just so this can hopefully not happen again on a second night of a back-to-back. Even if the circumstances are difficult, you know, and by the way, everything that we talk about right now, watch for the next game. That's always where I get excited, is when they make the adjustments. And if they don't make the adjustments and those back doors and the ball watching and those little effort plays keep happening again, and people want to say, oh, well, they're on a road trip. Oh, it's a long road. No.
Yeah.
This is the job. You got to lock in. Tonight I'm in one of those moods or whatever, where I'm just like,
sure. I'm not freaking out. Like, the poll question I put out for the live chat tonight was, any concern after this loss? The options, yes, need to play better, and no, it's a tough back-to-back. 77% of people are saying no, it was a tough back-to-back.
Yeah. Okay. Thank God.
I'm just saying, you can acknowledge like some of the bad shit we saw in the first half, acknowledge the fight, and be like, oh, I'm not mad about this loss because like it was a tough one. At least you got, if you didn't get last night, then you're feeling really kind of low, like, God, back-to-back, this is tough. But you win last night, that... I'm not saying it makes up for you. You don't want to lose games this time of year. Okay, you got to have a good road trip. You got to have 3-3, 4-2 to really build off this. But yeah, I just looked at like they had missed opportunities, and it's great that they woke up in that fourth quarter. They kept going, but you still leave this game with some concerns, right? And I guess some of my concerns,
get to your concerns, because I think that is the bigger picture of this game.
Well, the bench stuff is still a big concern, okay?
Yep. And
we
it's
asked
exposed
last night,
even more in losses every single time.
Last night, we go, man, Devin Carter didn't play in the second half. Kevin Herter didn't play in the second half. Alex Len didn't play in the second half. Tonight, Alex Len doesn't play. You need the bench to be able to chew up minutes tonight. right? Second half of back-to-back. The bench did not chew up minutes tonight.
Yep.
I mean, all your starters, the only guy who played, Keegan played 30, Malik played 31, so not terrible, but old man DeMar DeRozan played 37 minutes on the second half of a back-to-back. Sabonis played almost 40 minutes. Damn. De'Aaron Fox, who's not healthy, played 40 minutes on the second half of a back-to-back. They got 21 minutes from Keon Ellis, 21 from Lyles, and then they throw McDermott in that fourth quarter, who gets absolutely scorching hot, 15 points, knocked down 5 of 6 from downtown. But my point is, like, Kevin Huerter and Carter, like, they're not getting anything from them right now, and they need something from those guys in a big way.
The little things, the impactful 50-50 balls, that big rebound, that decision you make to impact a defensive play that allows you to protect the basket because someone else let their man go. Whatever it is, those plays need to happen.
Yeah.
More rebounds. I don't know. I'm naming off every little thing that you could do besides scoring. And you've seen both these players, even Devin Carter in a small amount of time, very small amount of time, but Kevin Huerter especially, you've seen him be able to impact a game even when he's not making his threes because he's struggled from 3-point land for so long. So yeah, when those things are happening, you go back there and you go, okay, you have the fresher legs. This is where it was needed most.
Yeah. And those guys did not give you that. So you had to lean heavy on other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And like Doug McDermott, give that guy a shit ton of credit. Like, yeah, you stay ready, dude, and come out firing. That's the one thing about him. He's not shy. He's going to come in, come off screens, knock down shots. He had one play where one of his 3-point attempts got blocked. It went to a Kings player. He relocated, caught it, shot it, went in. And it's like, yeah, he doesn't get phased. We could talk about his issues defensively. He has many of those. But the one thing I know with this guy, he's going to launch no matter what. And to be honest, he helped get the Kings back in this game in that fourth quarter in a major way. So the Kings end up losing 132 to 123. The next thing that's probably the biggest deal right now is De'Aaron Fox has not been the same since coming back from the injury. And we say the injury, he's been dealing with one the entire year. It's the pinky. And it's a huge topic of conversation right now. For good reason, right? Because there's expectations when you're De'Aaron Fox. You're supposed to be like the star guy. People want 27, 30 points from you every single night. And if you don't, people are looking at you kind of funny, especially with all the stuff that's transpired this year.
People
talking about his contract, him talking about his future on Draymond's pod,
yep.
All those things. That comes with the territory. So let's go a little timeline tonight. Because De'Aaron Fox finished this game with 17 points, 7 of 24 shooting. 3 of 10 from downtown. Since he has returned back from injury, when he took that fall against Memphis, right, where he missed a couple of games, 6 games, he's averaging 18 points, 36% shooting on 17 attempts a game, you know. He is 28.9% from downtown. 6.7 assists, 6.3 rebounds during that stretch. But De'Aaron Fox, who's, you know, one of your best guys, who's scored the 7th most points in the NBA this year, since he's returned, last 6 games, averaging 18 points a game, not shooting the ball well at 36%, 28% from downtown.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good at all.
And, you know, I think in some of these other games that we've seen some of those lower numbers, and we've talked about this, when they're winning, you can look at it, but the team is still winning, so you don't have to be as worried. Other guys are stepping up, whatever. And in some of those games, he was being impactful, at least on the defensive end or what, you know, whatever else that was like really covering up anything else. On a game like tonight, not only in a loss, but where he's smoking a layup.
Dude, you're
and,
right.
And when that's I saw smoke, that, yeah, yeah. I was just like, are you okay or are you not okay? And I hate when we have to go to this question when someone plays bad. But I think this is the other thing. We keep talking about with the pinky that and you can show it.
And this is a topic, again, I just want to bring this up real fast. Because the other day at practice, De'Aaron didn't just like show his hand and go, hey, my pinky's hurting. Chris Biederman of the Beat, after I asked a question about his 3-point shooting, asked him if the pinky is impacting his play. And he goes, well, look, it's kind of bent like this right now. He goes, I kind of have to tape it up. But like, Yeah, I've been playing like it. This happened early in the season.
Yep.
He scored 60 points with that pinky. He scored 48 the next night with that pinky. So, like, look, it's going to be an issue no matter what because it's going to get hit sometimes. It's going to be sometimes it's good, but it's going to impact
things. And that's where I wanted to go with this because some people might go, well, he played so well with it like that anyway, so who cares? But that. He could be getting hit differently in a game and we're just not hearing about it. And he's still just bent a little bit more and he's playing through it, but there could be something else and a different type of pain that comes along with it. Now, this is when we get to the point though, if you are not 100%, how many times do you want to tell players, no, sit out, get rest, do what you need to do. If any of you out there have ever played sports and you're a competitor and you're a competitive athlete, how many of you have popped a shoulder out, popped it back in, and went and scored the game-winning shot over a 6'9" girl? Like, I don't know.
Okay, I was going to say, I've never done that. And so you
Oh, really? Because I have. Oh, you've done. Because I have. Okay. My point to that being, like, adrenaline hits, and you play through it, all the different things. And everybody is different. But I think when it comes to the stakes are this high, and it's a franchise player. You need him out there. You can also show with him not being out there that you could still have other guys get minutes and opportunities and try and win games. But it can also expose those other flaws that Monty and Wes need to obviously make some tweaks and changes and all those things.
So we talk about that, right? The pinky. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one thing. And the people who don't like Fox are going to be like, oh, you bring up the pinky because he's playing bad. Oh, we got to stop talking about it. You know, it's blah, blah, blah. See, Fox isn't talking about it. We're bringing it up because he showed his – I had not seen his pinky. He showed it, and I'm like, holy shit, what the hell? So what it's do you do to fix that? That's not a rest thing. That's a he needs surgery thing, and he's going to have to deal with the offseason, or he could have dealt with it earlier. Mm. He chose to play through it, and he's had success with it, and now he's struggling. Is that why he's struggling right now? I don't know. Maybe he's just in a funk. Maybe he's playing bad basketball. Maybe his hip is still bugging him. His back's still bugging him from the fall he took. Yeah. But the other thing that concerns me is tonight him grabbing his right hand. And I'm listening to Doug Christie after the game being questioned by Jason Anderson, and Jason Anderson points out, hey, he was grabbing his right thumb. So I'm going, holy shit. Okay. I'm going back and I'm looking for it in the game. Someone mentioned that maybe he was grabbing at the second quarter. I noticed 90 seconds to go in this game. He had a drive where Jokic comes down, swipes down. Mm-hmm. He's grabbing at it again. I think his right hand's messed up. And Jason Anderson was asked Christie about it. Like, hey, is the thumb thing? Doug didn't really have any information. My whole point to this is like, all right, I don't know. Call me crazy, Morgan.
All right, let's hear
it. But if your pinky's messed up like that on your left hand, your shooting hand, that you have to tape up to get to like a decent rate. And also your right hand is having some sort of issue. Uh-huh. I think you need hands to play basketball.
Because you could play with one, but when you're missing two, it's gonna get difficult.
So it brings up the like legit question, and we don't know. Like one,
no,
this the right hand thing is a lot of speculation. But
absolutely,
I saw it with my eyes, and Jason Anderson asked Doug Christie about it. So I think right now we could say we're monitoring that situation. But if he's having like that pinky, the hand, the hip, deal with the hand. You can't play basketball with two bad hands. I'm sorry, you can't. So
because then how do you have handles? You don't.
You don't.
And dribbling to be honest, the ball with your face?
You've seen it though, Morgan. You've seen it this year. Like he's had some turnovers. Like, what the hell happened there? And it's like, oh, he doesn't look totally comfortable there.
And by the way, we say all this, and what's the next game? Saturday?
Yes. Against the Knicks.
Saturday against Knicks. He can come out and drop 50 with the bad whatever happened to his right hand to the left pinky being taped up. And that could happen. Like any of these things can happen because this is where injuries are sometimes. Adrenaline hits. People just keep going. But I think our larger point to this is if that's not going to happen and he's not 100%, De'Aaron Fox needs to be closer to 100% to be the impactful player that he needs to be with this team. Because there are at least at this time right now, Keon's playing well. So at least maybe he could, soak up some of that opportunity as well. And again, it could shine a light on what needs to change with the depth.
And like someone that Don says in the chat, that's why he's playing more off ball. Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. So my point too is, yeah, go get it handled. Now, you know, handled. If he needed surgery on the left hand, which it sounds like that's probably what he would need, right?
Like, I don't know how else you fix the pinky that's like half, it's a 90 degree angle. Like, what do you do?
I wonder how long that would keep you out. And you got to deal with some sort of issue, because the reality with the pinky, that's not going to get better with rest. I don't know about the other hand thing going on or the other stuff, but you have to be realistic here. If there's a time to take some time off, it might be now, especially with the All-Star break coming up in a couple of weeks. Like, there's a gap in the calendar. Like, take that chunk off so you don't have to miss as many games.
What if it was
wait.
6 weeks? What if it was something like,
yeah, and it sucks, dude.
We should do like Twitter doctor shit and like look up how many.
No, because we don't know the official injury that he has. Like, so it's so tough to say. I don't know.
Tonight's speculate night. Mm. Kidding. I'm obviously that's with the right, but I'm saying even with just the pinky on the left.
No, we don't know what the injury is with the. I don't even know what the official term is with his injury on the left hand. So
deformed.
He's playing. It looks deformed.
That's what I'm saying.
And look, I love that he plays through it. And that's the thing. Like, he's done this a lot in his career. Years back, he had that like grade 3 ankle sprain. It's like, oh, he's going to be out a long, long time. And he came back like 3 weeks later and you're like, what the hell, dude? Like, how? I like the fact that he wants to play through it, and he's not the one talking about this shit right now. He's not the one like, I'm playing banged up right now. He's just playing because that's what he does. And I know there's a lot of anti-Fox people. Fine. Some of the criticism, I completely understand where you're coming from. I get all that. But the one thing about him is he's going to go out there and he's going to fight and try to play through shit. And on the second night of back to back, he's playing 40 plus minutes and he's clearly not ready. The biggest question that we're all going with right now is like, okay, well, do you just need to get some time off here to handle your shit?
I don't, and that's the thing. We don't know the answer, but how we're analyzing his game is that he's a good player and he's not playing great right now. And it's not about giving excuses. It's about factoring in.
This is reality.
What's at hand? Thank you.
How many hand puns do you have today?
I've had two. Only had two.
That's just, look at that.
I mean, yeah, it's not ideal for your shooting hand.
Yeah.
Like, you think about even the way that he has to tape it. When you shoot, it's supposed to roll off your fingertips.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be some days where it's not, like I said, like, he did score 60 points with that hand.
Yep.
So, like, part of this, too, is there's going to be some weeks that maybe it's not getting hit a lot and he feels good. But like, when guys are going to swipe down at you, man, like, you're one of the key guys. They're going to go at that, especially when they know your hand looks like that. Mm-hmm. They see your hand all taped up and shit. Guys in this league are going to make sure when they're going for the ball, they're getting a little bit of hand and you're going to feel it. And you've seen it many times with the left. Now you're seeing it with the right. That's concerning to me. And it's one of those things that if you don't handle it soon, then it lingers all year, and then you've got inconsistent Fox, and they need this. Like, we talk about the last six games, but this has been longer than this from an efficiency standpoint with him. And I understand that this could impact his shot, but my point is, like, deal with it, because is it worth fighting through it at this point if you're not being as effective as you can be out there?
Yeah, no.
And this team has more help than it's ever had just from the starting lineup and offensive firepower.
In that, he's a competitor. He wants to be out there.
Yeah.
That's not for us to say, one, because we are not doctors. We are not him. So I'm very curious on where this whole hand thing will go for De'Aaron.
Joe in the chat says, he's got that John Collins hand. Dude, do you guys not remember John Collins's injury with the Hawks?
Yeah, but I don't get what is that?
But guess what? You know what's crazy about him?
Okay, what?
He couldn't shoot right for 2 years. And you know what? Now he got it dealt with.
Uh-huh.
He's knocking down threes.
Did they like pop that?
I don't know what they did. It looks disgusting.
Yeah.
But I'd say, like, deal with it now and try to get it right and trust that, hey, you've got the pieces here in Sacramento, and then hopefully this front office can add to this team, and, like, you could survive and maintain a little bit without Fox in the lineup for a bit. It's a it is a long-term concern if he's not knocking down shots. Look, you don't have De'Aaron Fox on your team to be, like, an offensive decoy, right? Like, yeah. Hey, man, like, hey, even if he's not healthy, like, he can really impact. It's like, yeah, I understand defenses are still going to guard him. I still understand what he can do defensively when he's locked in. I get all that stuff, but his usage is still going to be high. And, like, you need the hands to pass, to dribble, to shoot. Like, this is, like, common sense to me. You know what I mean? So I think that's one of my big areas of concern as we look at De'Aaron Fox right now, is he's not efficient. The scoring is way down.
You know what I'm concerned about too? Because I think about all the injuries that he's had, like, even playoff year when everyone's like, they're the healthiest team. And it's like, no, everyone's playing with, like, a broken hand, a broken thumb, and everything else. Like, they're just playing through it and getting surgery in the offseason. Like, I just hope he doesn't choose to do that in this part of his career. But again, it's his decision and whatever he decides to do.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're Rich Paul and you're, you know, the Kings, you might want to encourage a different thing. Like, hey, why don't we get it? Let's get it looked at. Let's talk about some options, you know?
Sure.
Anyway, so that's kind of my thought. They need more from De'Aaron Fox. They can't have inefficient Fox. They can't have, hey, he's not getting close to 20 points Fox.
Yeah, no, once I saw that smoked layup, I was like, no, they can't have this Fox. Like, we've seen the attention to detail at so much higher of a level with him.
Let's hear Doug Christie. He talked about that and this Kings loss.
He's a special player. Jokic. Very poised. It goes along with what he does. I mean, and Domas, incredible numbers. He almost had a triple double. So that's a crazy battle right there. And tonight, they got the better end of the battle. We will lick our wounds, and we will be ready to fight when we see them again. We'll be ready to go. But hats off to Jokic. I mean, he's a special, special talent. And I know for our guys, at least, what you like is you always want to test yourself against the best. That's part of what it is.
Playing at altitude, second night of a back-to-back, you're down by 25 going into the fourth, and the fight you've alluded to get back, you know, within five at the end of that game. How pleased or proud are you of the guys for getting there?
Yeah, very, very pleased, but that's obviously not the outcome that we want. We don't use excuses of the back-to-back and the altitude and the number across the chest of however many feet we're up at sea level and all that. It's part of what it is. I've been here, I've played, you get a second win, and all of a sudden you're good. And I thought that we burned through that, and, you know, we started to find our way a little bit. But you gotta give them credit. They're at home, they're playing at a really high level right now, and we ran into a bit of a buzzsaw, and we didn't back away. That was part of my message into them. We do not back up, we do not step to the side, we go forward every time, regardless of the opponent.
Fox, we know Fox is dealing with the pinky on the left hand. Seems like something's going on with the right hand too, maybe the thumb. What can you say about that?
I haven't had a chance to see. I know medical, if that is, they will be looking at him, and I will get a report on it. But right now, you know, he's Fox, so I'm not really, I don't worry about it. I hear a lot of stuff. I don't worry about him the same way a lot of people do. When he breaks through, he'll be fine. He's going to continue to be the gravity that we need as a special player. He understands how to draw double teams, get off the rock, help your teammates defensively. There are ways to impact the game. And again, for him, for me, what he does not get equated by the box score. He does so much more.
There's a Doug Christie after this one talking about the fact that it doesn't really have much to add about the De'Aaron Fox thumb thing on the right hand, but it's something to watch. We talked about noticing it 90 seconds ago in this game, and Jason Anderson asked about it too.
Yeah. And so we'll just monitor the situation.
Will you give him your thumb if you needed to?
Are you serious? Yes.
What would it honestly take if, like, there is a technology that's like, hey, we can give him your thumb and it's going to make him better again. But you don't know what that means for the King's season.
Oh.
Would you give up
my thumb?
For what? A first round series?
$1 million.
$1 million?
They got money.
You would do it for $1 million. You had no thumb. No thumb.
And then I would invest and I would save all my money and be really and be a broadcaster.
What if it's like you give him the thumb and like he just shoots just the same? It's like, oh, he's just 20%. Maybe he's just a bad shooter.
Give me my fucking thumb back.
I mean, I think that's a one other thing I do want to acknowledge too is like his shooting numbers went up last year, right? But for his career, his 3-point shooting has been like 32%.
Yeah.
There's also the other school thoughts like this might be just kind of who he is.
If he got my thumb, oh my god, that shot would be what? No. I think when coming into this season, especially and even toward the end of last season, when we started seeing him develop that three more and more, becoming more a bigger part of his game. And then I think this season it was okay, can he consistently do it? Because you want to make sure you're experiencing shooting that shot against NBA teams and not just your teammates at practice or not just whatever you're doing in the off season. It's important to get that real live action. So I like that he was doing it. When the whole team was just shooting like shit, everyone was going, Fox is settling, Fox is settling. And at times there were some of those shots, but we went back and watched some games where we're like, that's a good shot. That's a good shot. That's a good shot. How are we supposed to say that's not a good shot for him when he seems like he's done it before?
Yeah, I think the one other thing Sacramento can do, I mean, this is a different situation right now. If like this hand thing is becoming a bigger thing, I don't know. But let's just say he keeps playing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, this is what it is. How do you put him in better positions to succeed? And I think, Doug, last night, I didn't like some of the lineups he used Fox in because they're just packing the paint like crazy. Like with Len out there, with Carter, like... If Fox needs room to operate, he needs room to get into the paint. And every time against the Warriors, you know what they were doing? They had four guys just wrap around him, and he could get nothing. So if you're going to be using him with bench guys, I think it's really important to have spacing around him. Like, have Keegan out there. Have Trey out there. So defenses can't just, like, pack the paint on the guy when he's out there with, like, a second unit. You know what I mean?
Because then he's going to have to rely on the shot or...
In the fourth quarter, that starting lineup in the fourth quarter, the Kings are down 25. They start with Fox, Keon, Doug McDermott, Keegan Murray, and Trey Lyles. Now, they're able to go smaller at the five spot because those were non-Jokic minutes. Mm-hmm. They start 11-0, and that ball, it was like five out. The ball was moving around. You know, there's room to operate for Fox. Even if he was missing shots, like he was still being able to get into the paint. The offense was flowing. That's how you maximize Fox with those second unit options, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I understand. I also think maybe if his pinky wasn't bent in half, we're talking about this differently. Maybe. I don't know. I think he has shown he can shoot from the outside. He has shown he can create something even when the paint is packed. You know, he has shown that he can be a playmaker just a couple of games ago, dropping 13 assists when he wasn't scoring a whole bunch of points. So that's why it's like, I think there's this spotlight on this situation right now. It's a loss. It was another not so good game for him, but it was even highlighted a little bit more with missed layups, sluggish defense at times from him and everyone else. When you look at those things, we're going to talk about it and other people are going to just freak out about it because they have over the years for any star player, if they're a fan of any star player of any team, you know.
By the way, tonight, 2 of 8 in the paint, 2 of 8 in the paint for De'Aaron Fox.
Yikes. Well, there was even times when Jokic was on him and I'm so used to him just like getting that first step, blasting by him or something. And Malik Monk had done that when Jokic had to come up on him. And even when De'Aaron didn't choose to do that in a few moments. And I didn't see the second line of defense behind Jokic and the paint wasn't packed. I was just like, okay. I mean, does he not have the handle? Does he not have it? Like, what is it?
Well, is a fall? Is the hip still bugging him? Those are, yeah.
We're looking for answers.
Yep. And it could also be like, hey, none of it actually matters. And like, he's just struggling because
I was going to say, he could just have a struggling month.
And we just spent 12 minutes talking about it, huh?
Because everyone else is too.
So the Kings now are 23 and 21. I mentioned the first half numbers that were bad, yeah. Right? The 74-52 in favor of Denver. Second half, it was 71-58 Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mentioned the rebounding was 35-19 Denver.
Yeah.
In the second half, Sacramento out-rebounded them 34-21. So it was like, it was almost like reverse. The Kings held them to 24 points in the paint in the second half after they had 44 in the first half.
Great.
Kings outscored them in the paint too. So that it's just
adjustments, better effort.
Yeah. I just also thought like, look, I think there's a natural spot in a game sometimes where a team's at home and they're up 25 and maybe you let off the gas a little bit. And like the Nuggets started the fourth quarter with Jokic on the bench. Why? You're up 25. The guy just hit a 66-foot three. And this is his natural kind of rhythm in a game where he just sits to start the fourth quarter. I'm sure the idea was, we're not putting him back in.
Yeah.
The Kings forced them to put him back in to close the door. Can we just talk about Jokic for a second?
Yeah, what about him?
35-22-17.
I know. He's really good. And he's better than good.
But do you think, like, the NBA at large appreciates him enough?
No.
And it's tough to say that when it's like, well, dude, how many MVPs has he won? 3 MVPs. He's an all-star starter again this year for the fifth time.
The way that we, and for good reason, by the way, when I say this, the way that we talk about Victor Wembanyama, the future face of the NBA, right now on this Spurs team is so much more than I feel like we talk about Jokic. And I think basketball fans, NBA fans respect the hell out of him, but I don't think it's praised every single night. I think it's more expected. And when this is his stat line, it's just like, oh, holy shit, he did it again. I've caught myself doing that with him in the season.
Yeah, I think I joked with Morgan at the end of the first quarter. Where was it? I think I wrote it down. Oh, Jokic at the end of the first had 9.7 rebounds, 7 assists. Like, what? And no, I think he's one of those guys that more basketball fans will appreciate him after his playing days.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're a true basketball sicko, you just appreciate watching this guy, like, do his thing. Like, his journey, his story, he plays at his pace. And everyone's like, oh, he plays at his pace. He doesn't want to run. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? They're fifth in pace because he gets the ball up the floor. They get into their early offense. And pace is all about possessions, right? How many possessions you can get. It's not about fast breaks. It's play with pace, right? He gets that ball moving. You've got athletes everywhere attacking. You've got shooting.
Yeah. Do you think it's like, you might relate to this, maybe not, but with like WWE superstars, when they're not like have 8-packs or 6-packs and have like the best bodies in the world, that they're
like
that,
Gunther.
Well, but no, I feel
Gunther's like, kind of like Jokic. Gunther used to be fat, and then now he's okay, ripped, well, and he's the world heavyweight champion.
I was going more with, like, I feel like those bodies, those people are put at the forefront. They're more of the face at times of, like, WWE.
Yeah.
When there's other wrestlers who are actually, like, better than them,
yeah,
in no, like, have the skill sets of like what being a really good wrestler really is,
like Samoa Joe,
yeah, like the fundamentals of wrestling, you know. And I guess my point is, do you think that's also another reason why? Because he's not the most athletic, crazy body kind of dude.
I don't know. I think we probably make too much of it too, you know. I think people who love basketball love watching Jokic. Like,
for sure. But I just think, I think the average NBA fan should be giving him the respect he deserves every single night.
Absolutely. Okay. And then on the other note, obviously Sabonis is not at Jokic's level. No. Jokic is a generational, like, dude, these guys don't come around often. But Sabonis is one of the best bigs in the game. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it with Sabonis all the time. You know, we keep talking about Jokic's monster night. Well, Sabonis had 23-19-8. 23-19-8. He's been on a tear. And you see the all-star teams announced, or excuse me, the starters announced. And I just hope Sabonis can get some love as a reserve. I think he's just been so consistently great this year.
I hope so.
Just an absolute beast. And he is underappreciated around the league. Like, you have to be like a hardcore fan of the NBA, I think, to be like locked into what Sabonis does every night. Cause it's like, one, it's not always sexy to people. Uh-huh. Two, it's Sacramento, West Coast. Oh, and he's got a reputation.
I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, yeah, I feel like even if the Kings were like the number two seed in the West and Sabonis was doing this shit every single night, I still don't think around the NBA he would be giving the love.
How about this?
He'd be respected. But
if Jokic was doing this for the Lakers?
Oh, that shit would be everywhere.
Oh my God.
We would not hear the end of it. We would have, it would be shoved in our faces.
I'm so glad this is being brought up right now.
Why?
And I'm not trying to make this a thing, but I saw Shams tweet something out tonight. And I was like, is this real? Catch more of Lakers star Anthony Davis, the only player averaging 25 points and 2 blocks across ESPN shows, SportsCenter, NBA Today, NBA Countdown, beginning tonight. It's some interview he did, but it's just like, God, is he really just like gassing up like AD here? Like, I just, maybe Shams like doing an all-star push for.
Is that, that's all the tweet is?
Yeah.
When I saw this, I thought, oh, is this some like crazy
just hype your
Netflix series?
Just hype your sit down with AD. It's cool. You don't have to be like the only player averaging 25 points and 2 blocks. That's such a random, like, okay, cool, man.
There's no other player that is doing that right now. Yeah.
Hold on. Actually, that makes me laugh because now I want to look about this. Yeah. Okay. No other player is averaging 25 points and 2 blocks a game. Okay, so, oh my God, this is so disgusting.
No!
Okay, Shams, no other player is averaging 25 and 2. Victor Wembanyama is averaging 24.4 points a game and 4 blocks.
But it's not 25, oh, man. Bitch.
6 tenths off, and he would have surpassed AD. The guy's averaging 24.4, 4 blocks, 11 rebounds, 3.7 assists.
But nobody's doing what AD's doing.
Technically, he's right. He's right. Find the line.
I wish you would put that out to his tweet.
25 and 2. Jokic is like, what, 30, 13 and 9. Almost the guy's almost a triple-double.
It's not to take away what AD's doing. It's just going to our point, is if you are putting on that Lakers jersey.
Oh, my God,
or
dude.
If Jokic had that Golden State Warriors jersey on, it would just be different.
Oh, Jokic officially tonight. Mm-hmm. After tonight's game, averaging a triple-double of 30 points, 13.4 rebounds, 10.1 assists.
See, now that's when you say nobody else in the league is doing that. Yes.
I'm going to start like picking out specifics. No one else in the league is averaging 13.2 points per game besides blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I like it.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, technically you're right. No one is averaging that specific
amount. Like, they have one high stat category, but they add something else.
Anyway, yeah, Sabonis, if he was in LA, dude, we would all hate Sabonis.
Oh, yeah.
we get it, dude. Like, cool. Jokic light.
You're shoving Sabonis in our face.
Yeah. Amazon basic Jokic.
So dumb.
We got more of the pod coming up. We got to talk about All-Stars. Oh, also, we were watching an NBA G League game tonight. You're like, oh, cool, dude. So I go give a shit. We do have a couple updates on Isaac Jones and Isaiah Crawford, the two Kings rookies. We'll give you some perspective on that in just a second. But we want to mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We're all one. Golden One.
Yeah, we are.
If you become a Golden One member, how about these perks, Morgan Reagan? Join for up to 50% off Kings home games.
Yeah, but that's not all. You can get 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. Plus, you can also get your tickets upgraded if you just raise that Golden One card up in the sky.
And maybe someone sees that card and goes, you know what? It's your lucky day.
Yeah.
So many perks.
That's easy.
Scan that QR code on the screen, by the way, or go to goldenone.com to see their range of products and services to help you start your financial journey today. We are all one with Golden One, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows, Morgan?
Well, I don't now because I got mine from Northwest Exteriors. And they're the best. They're simply the best. They've saved me so much money. They are noise canceling. They have UV protection. They basically can do my dishes. Yeah. They can.
Do they make you? Does it make you feel safe though?
Are you kidding me? Yes. They have the double locks on them and everything.
Okay, but does it make my house look nicer?
Way better. You're gonna make way more money off your house if you get your windows done.
They also do HVAC stuff too, right? You need it tuned up. You need a new one. Go check out the experts over at Northwest Exteriors. You can check out their showroom too. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary as well. Go to northwestexteriors.com because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Also presented tonight by our friends over at
Rocket Money.
It's the start of a new year. Yeah. And I'm just so excited to get all of my expenses organized. I used to do it on Excel sheets. Now I do it on Rocket Money. And it has made everything so much easier. Just the layout, just to see and make sure that I am not paying for some unwanted subscriptions. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and have saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon today. That's rocketmoney.com/gameon. rocketmoney.com/gameon. Morgan, yes. Before we kind of wrap up this game, this Kings game, the loss 132-123, who would be your simply the best player of the game?
Well, I think it would be disgusting if it wasn't Nikola Jokic.
Okay. 35, 22, and 17.
Domas Sabonis?
No. You know, I was trying to go positive tonight, right? Because obviously you go Jokic. Yeah. Jokic, player of the game. Every game he plays, player of the game. Let's give some love to the guy off the bench tonight that was letting it fly.
Oh.
Dougie McBuckets. 15 points on 5 of 7 from 3 in 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. Yes, there's an asterisk by it because we know it's Jokic, 35 points, 22 rebounds, like 17 assists. But let's give Doug some love. Let's give love to Doug McDermott. We don't see him much.
No.
Doesn't play often. He gets in there. Fourth quarter down 25. Lets it fly.
Dude,
he's our simply the best player of the game.
Way to stay ready. I love that he stayed ready. I love that he did his job. And he wasn't a complete liability on the defensive end. And
he actually had a one good stop on Strother on a drive.
Okay, so
good contest.
You had that, and you just had him not only making these threes, but big threes to actually get them back into this game. Like, that was him being that secret weapon that you need to see at times in games like this. And it was just cool that he came in and did what he needed to do.
Well, last question about this game.
Mm-hmm.
When you're down 25 going into the fourth, second I have a back-to-back in Denver, when do you just wave the white flag? Especially when Fox is not looking like Fox right now, played 40 minutes. All these guys just played heavy minutes in a close game last night. Why not just get crazy and just like put your bench guys in at the start of the fourth quarter?
I would have.
Yeah,
I would have. I definitely would have. But at the same time, once I saw it kind of going in that direction, too, I was like, oh, so glad they didn't.
I think part of it, I'm guessing, is that coaches don't view 25 the same as they viewed it like 5-10 years ago, where 25 is like, hey, dude, if we can get a couple stops, we can get back in the game. And then the Kings open up the quarter on an 11-0 run. Like, you want to almost see the first few minutes. Like,
and if you have a pulse of your team,
yeah,
their ability, their fight. And I feel like Doug has a grasp on that in the last 10 whatever games, especially. Yeah, I'm glad that he kept rolling with what he was going with.
I'm not a coach. I just play one on YouTube. Uh-huh. But I would have thrown Dougie out there like that for sure.
Okay.
I think I would have gone with Devin Carter out there just again. I need Devin to get some confidence back. I feel like the last couple of games, it's looked a little rough.
Yeah, he just looks like he is going through the motions, right? Like he's just getting the ball, not looking to be that threat that he needs to be.
Yeah, he had that one play last night against the Warriors where I thought he had a clean floater. He tried to dish it to Len. Mm-hmm. It was a turnover. Tonight, he got obliterated, I think, on a screen, and then Strother was able to score. I don't know. It just, it felt, when you saw him early on, like in Stockton, like the first couple of games, you're like, oh, I see it. The rebounding, yep. The pushing, all that stuff. But the last couple of games, it seems like there's a little more uncertainty. And maybe it's just, hey, the guy's, what, 8-9 games into his NBA career. He's trying to, like, feel things out a little bit, trying to learn this new role that he's in, which is, dude, you're going to get some limited minutes. Go make the most of it.
Yep.
And that's why. But he only played, you know, 2.5 minutes in this game.
Yeah. I would have, like you said, liked to see a little bit more. But at the same time, when you don't trust as a coach, it's just going to be, it's going to be hard to go in that direction.
The other question I have is with Doug McDermott, I'm not trying to make it more than it is, but if you're not getting anything from Herter, and here's the other thing that you get pushed back on. It's like, yeah, but if you are trying to move Herter at the deadline, like all these reports suggest that the Kings have been trying to do for a while, like they're trying to make a move. Yeah, they got to play him. It's like, yeah, but you play him 6 minutes in the game. What's that do? I mean, if you're talking about like value and stuff, his value is what it is. Like if a team's trading for him, they're just like, well, he's got an expiring deal next year. Maybe we get something out of him. If not, he increases his value here and then we move an expiring deal, get a pick.
Yep.
Or he figures it out good. But like, and no one's like going, hey, dude, Kevin Herter is a missing piece for us right now. His value to me is what it is. This has been going back to last year to now. I think people see what he has been in the past. They probably think he's a better player, but they're not like going, hey, I got to get.
I don't think you're wrong. Yeah.
My point is, do you just start playing Doug over him now and like give Doug some minutes or give Devin some more minutes or give Keon some more minutes? And
so I would go that direction before I would go just going to Doug.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I guess my point is, did Doug earn some minutes at all based on how he played?
I think Doug.
Yeah.
Doug McDermott at this point of his career also is what he is. And I think he's that sharpshooter boost of energy that you need in games like this. And if you're not even adding it in games like this, sit your ass back on the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're asked to do that one job, whatever. And he did it tonight. I think, and it's really hard to do when you're just asked to do one job, you have to execute, and you're not playing in any of these games.
Yeah.
With someone like Kevin Herter, I think what we have seen from him is that he can be impactful in different ways. He has to find out how he can be impactful in smaller amount of minutes. And that's so difficult to do. But at the same time, like if you're working to get those minutes, it's just something you have to make sure you're doing.
Well, we were in Stockton tonight watching a couple of the Kings young guys. Isaac Jones is on a tear. And yes, we always caution this with, it is the G League.
Mm-hmm.
It's the G League.
Sure.
The other day, he had a career high 42 points.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, he had 35 points in a G League game over the South Bay Lakers. And watching back on some of it, you go, okay, these teams don't have a tremendous amount of size. Like, let's be real about it. Well, tonight, it was going to be an interesting test because the team that he was playing, the Texas Legends, and I'm not trying to get into nitty gritty, but basically, the Texas Legends might not be a good G League team record-wise, but their defensive metrics are like all near the top. We're talking about holding opponents under 100, number 2 defensive rating, great at blocking shots. They have the 7'5", Jamarian Sharp on the team, who's just got a lot of size, right?
Rim protector.
Yeah, they've got a lot of length. So I was like, all right, what's going to look like tonight? I was really impressed with Isaac Jones. He scored 31 points. It was 3 straight 30-plus point games. But the most encouraging aspect tonight, he knocked down 4 of 7 from downtown.
Yes.
Got some corner threes, shot it with confidence.
And it looked good. It looked good.
31 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks for Isaac Jones. What stood out to you watching him?
Well, the smooth outside shot, the confidence, quick decision, just shooting it in rhythm. It's like, yo, if you can stretch the floor and then do what you're doing in the middle against a 7'5 guy in Jamarian Sharp tonight, he was still finding space.
Oh, he faked him out bad once. Remember, to the basket?
Faked him out.
So he's right under the hoop. And, you know, Sharp's got
7'9 wingspan.
7'9 wingspan, yes. 9 foot standing reach. Okay, breaking news. Long ass dude.
Yep.
All right. He just gave him a little ball fake. And I felt bad. It's like what I do with like Carlin when I'm throwing the ball for him. Sometimes I fake him out and he like looks. That's what happened. He fakes Sharp. Sharp looks. And then Isaac Jones scored it.
It was nice. Yeah, and yeah. So he was being crafty with those moves. And he was being really thoughtful with what he was going to do in the paint on such a big player. And he was making shots, making things happen. But then also on the defensive end, he would time things out perfectly, like to break up an alley-oop situation or a two-man situation. Right. And just he had to jump at the right time because they can throw it up higher for this 7'5 guy. But he deflected it and went the other way and then ended up running his lane and getting, you know, a dunk in transition. He blocked his shot at the rim,
yeah.
Yeah. My point is he's just doing everything out there. It's the G League, but it's important when it's the G League that you're not just seeing a guy get his and score and do those things.
That's a great point because I felt like tonight watching him, and this happens a lot in the G League where a guy gets big, you know, oh my God, he has 35. Man, he must be the best player ever. It's like, no. Sometimes guys are just jacking up there. Mm-hmm. They're just playing. His was in the flow.
Yep.
He there was no forcing. This was like smooth, knocking down open shots, good touch around the basket. I think Isaac Jones is probably going to get a guaranteed deal with Sacramento. He'll get upgraded from a two-way spot. But his growth has been tremendous. This guy took like 9 three-pointers last year at Washington State, made 1 three-pointer. At Washington State last year, had a really good year there, 4 of 7 tonight. And, you know, if he was in Sacramento and let's just say he got playing time, he's going to be open for three because they're not going to guard him.
Yeah.
And if he can get that down with his verticality, the 7'3 wingspan, the touch around the basket, I don't know. I just think he could be a useful player, you know, and the Kings need guys like
that.
Well,
they do. A useful player and a player that's big, that's long. And we saw him early on in the season when Mike Brown played him a few minutes and he had a few impactful moments and minutes. And you're like, okay, can you keep running with this if you need to?
Isaiah Crawford. This is someone that we haven't seen a lot in Sacramento. We saw Isaac Jones much more. Isaiah Crawford in this game tonight had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, 7 of 12 shooting, knocked down a 3. He's been shooting the ball well from 3 this year, 39% in the G League. I've been really impressed with his, like, defensive ability to switch on multiple guys. Now, what I always caution with that too, this is not NBA speed.
Yep. Like,
this is different, right?
Size, everything.
NBA athletes, it's just such a different level. So I'd curious to see but you see the glimpses of a guy who's another long guy, 7 foot wingspan, who can hit the three, that can defend multiple positions. I'm intrigued by the Kings' 2 two-way players. Yeah. The whole point to this.
No, I'm with you on that. And I think we're fresh off this game and fresh off a Kings loss and questioning the depth for the Sacramento Kings. And I'm not sitting here right now and going, Isaiah Crawford is going to get this opportunity with the Sacramento Kings or anything. It's more just looking at the future and the development of some of these players within your system. And they have the size, and that alone is very important because that is not something feels like we've seen a lot of for the Sacramento Kings.
Let's get to some super chats. Huh? Shout out to some guy who donated $5. Shout out from a Denver fan. Love your show. My favorite non-Nuggets podcast. Really love the Kings' effort in the second half. Great game.
Too kind.
Some guy You say it's a great game because your team won. I love all the support we get from Kings fans. No shit, Sacramento. But there is something special when other fan bases are like, dude, I dig what you guys do. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's not just hate watching us.
From the outside, huh?
Because you know that happens. Like, people will hate watch us after a loss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Or other podcasts for sure.
Yeah. It's
nice. It's cool. Alex donates $5. No message. Appreciate that. Super Bay donates $2 saying, we like the Pink Fox ones these last two games.
I know.
Do we like them is the question.
I do.
I saw them last night and I wish I had them. I bought the green ones a few weeks back. I've been playing in those a lot lately.
What?
I've been playing in those a lot
lately.
Oh,
I've been playing a lot of basketball lately.
I know. And I'm jealous. I know.
And let's rewind for a second. Someone asked me about this when I was playing the other day. I was like, oh, you like them? How it compared to this shoe? I'm like, oh, you guys got to know something about me and basketball shoes. Growing up, basketball shoes, dude, I played like in jean shorts. Basketball shoes weren't a thing. And like, I never had a signature basketball shoe. The amount of time as a kid, I would stare at AIs or Kobe's or T-Max.
Mm-hmm. I had T-Max.
So many amazing shoes. We couldn't afford them. So growing up, you know, I played basketball like in my adult life, but I never had like a signature shoe until last year. I was like, you know what? Dude, what am I doing? I'm getting a signature shoe.
And your first one ever was?
Sabrina ones. And those are amazing, like super comfortable. And so my expectations for shoes might be different. My expectations are, hey, when I'm done playing, are my feet burning and do they hurt? No? Good. Because I've had shoes like that.
I know.
Sabrina ones are awesome. And Foxes are great. Like, they're very light. I feel like I move well.
Super light.
And I'm like, I played in them like 6-7 times now, and it's been great.
Love that for
you. I've made them strictly my indoor ones.
Good.
Because I played Sabrina outdoor. Because, you know me, I'm an outdoor guy too. I'll play pickup ball. Where do you want to go? Let's go. 30 degrees out. We'll go to Roosevelt.
Ew, no thanks.
Anyway.
I don't need to play outside. That's why I picked basketball to play growing up.
Jacob, appreciate the super chat too. But yeah, I did see the Pink Fox ones. And yeah, they're great. Because it's kind of that soft. It was a soft pink?
Yeah. Or like a blush.
Okay, I like that. Blush, I don't know. Blush.
It's really pretty, though.
A PK in the chat says, tough schedule coming up, boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but you can't get too far ahead.
No.
It's not supposed to be easy.
One game at a time.
Blue Velvet says, I am actually scared that we don't make any moves at the trade deadline. I really hope I am wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too.
Yeah. We should note this because we're answering some questions. Uh-huh. We are doing a Patreon and YouTube members only live chat or monthly thing that we do. We're doing that Sunday, probably around 6-ish.
Yeah.
Sunday around 6 p.m. We'll shoot a message out. So if you want to be a part of that members only monthly thing.
Memory.
Yep. Your thoughts on the Kings defense? Not very good in that first half, man. Not at all. It's too much ball watching. Rewind. We talked about it. Mike says, I miss winning 30 games. Let's trade Fox. Okay. You guys are great. You guys are hilarious. Okay. Oh, last thing I wanted to get to real fast. NBA All-Star starters were announced. This is a combination of fan vote, Morgan.
25% coaches, 25% players, 50% fans.
Is that right?
I believe so. That's what
50% fans, current players, and media. 25%. Oh, so not coaches.
God damn it. The
head coaches select the reserves.
You're right. Damn.
So, in the West, Steph Curry makes it.
It's in San Francisco. It's Steph Curry.
LeBron James makes it.
That's fine.
Kevin Durant makes it.
Whatever.
Jokic makes it.
Duh.
And the last one, SGA.
Fair enough. You just don't even do it.
It doesn't matter.
What am I saying? Don't do it.
It's in all. I'm trying. I don't. And the format's different this year. But I'm just like, okay. Like I get it. It's Curry, but like, I'm sorry. Curry's numbers are down this year.
Doesn't matter.
His team is not good. If it was any other year,
it would. He would still get in.
He would still get in for sure.
No matter what.
I'm not. And I want him in the game. Like I'm not good. Taking a shot at it because All Star. You want to see the best of the best, and you want in the. You know, Kobe was getting into the games where it's like, he's not as good anymore. It's like, yeah, but it's Kobe Bryant.
Uh-huh.
I just think as a starter, I'm just like, really?
Doesn't bother me.
But hey, okay, LeBron, starter. Okay, you're 40. I get it. KD, I don't know. It is funny that this league is like, you do want to promote the next generation of stars, right? And it reminds you a little bit of going back to wrestling, WrestleMania, where, hey, got to promote the Seth Rollins, the Gunthers. But we got The Rock out there, right? You got to bring back, hey, CM Punk out there. All the, they're like the draw. And it's like, yeah, but what about Victor Wembanyama, yeah, right? What about some of these young guys?
Yep.
And Anthony Edwards. That's my only issue with it. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. In the East, a little bit different. You had two Knicks make it. Jalen Brunson, Karl Anthony Towns. You got Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, and Giannis. Could, if you're a Wolves fan, are you just like, God damn it, dude.
Depressed.
Really?
I feel bad for those fans and seeing not only where their team is going since seeing success, especially last season, but also in a player that was dedicated to your city and is now thriving in another city. Sucks.
I have always said he's had his flaws, but dude, you made it to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Where he was mature, like his game matured more than ever.
It absolutely did. And you didn't have to do that now. You didn't have to make these financial decisions now. And at the moment, it doesn't look good. Like, Randall's not been a great fit. It's kind of gone as predicted. It's like, hey, some nights it's good. Sometimes he gets his numbers, but he's inefficient, ball stopping. DiVincenzo's got a toe injury. He's out indefinitely. They're in a tough spot. But yeah, the East, I'm interested to see what the reserves look like. And if the Kings do get any reps, I'm going to say it's going to be Sabonis.
That's
the best odds.
Of course.
But there is some like logic. Now, I don't think lately De'Aaron's been playing like an all-star, so
no.
Like, that's the other thing. But I think at one point, when he, if you go like a couple of weeks back, where hey, the Kings are starting to turn around, he's a part of it. If he would get, you know, Sabonis and Fox would split votes with coaches, and it would hurt both of them.
Ooh, that's an interesting theory. Yeah, so Fox hurt his pinky, bent his pinky on purpose.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had tonight. I appreciate you guys joining us super late. I'm glad we were able to get this done. This was the first time this season we have had an instance where it's like, hey, Kings game, Stockton, and then do the podcast. But hey, we made it happen. We are going to, and one more schedule reminder, Saturday night. I know the Kings play early. We're not going to be on until late, probably around like 10:30, 10:45, same time. Kings Knicks is happening. Morgan's going to be in studio for that.
With Mike Bibby.
And then I am going to be in San Francisco as well to do a San Francisco San Diego college basketball game at like 7 o'clock.
That he's calling.
Then, yeah, doing play by play for. And then we're driving back to Sacramento to do the podcast about the Kings. Or do we spend time talking about, hey, man, the USF Dons bounced back after an ugly loss to St. Mary's? Dude, St. Mary's smashed him tonight. I was so bummed. I was like, I'm going to walk into San Francisco. They're going to beat St. Mary's.
See, you're going to come in. You're going to call a game that's going to be like the redemption game.
Let's go. Yeah. Time
on
to
a
bounce
Saturday
back.
Saturday night. Hell yeah.
San Diego in town. Let's go, Dons.
We'll push that game out too because it's after the Kings game on Saturday, obviously, because the Kings are on the road.
So it's going to be a late night one. Well, perfect way to end it. David says, Morgan, no Beamless Night song tonight.
It's a Beamless Night as a last night plus. It's a Beamless Night. I'm waiting for you. There's a victory when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. And maybe I don't even need you. Maybe I don't want to see you. Maybe I'm just nothing but a dream. Because it's a Beamless Night as I lay here sleeping. Beamless Night and waiting for you. The victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is dark as the sky.
We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Hey, Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.